The torch is being symbolically passed to commercial spaceflight. Airline fuel bills skyrocketed in May, and Delta's customer satisfaction rankings have tanked. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, July 14th, 2011. As NASA prepares to welcome home the last space shuttle mission in Florida, SpaceX CEO Elon Musk was joined by California Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, 30th Space Wing Commander Colonel Richard W. Boltz, and Lompoc Mayor John Lynn to break ground Wednesday on a new launch site for the Falcon Heavy Space Launch Complex 4 East at Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. SpaceX says the Falcon Heavy will be the world's most powerful rocket, with more than twice the payload-to-orbit capacity of the space shuttle, but at only one-third the cost of the Boeing Lockheed Delta IV Heavy. The Falcon Heavy will be the first ever rocket to break the $1,000-per-pound-to-orbit barrier. That's a cost less than a tenth of the shuttle. Falcon Heavy is to arrive at Vandenberg by the end of 2012, and its inaugural flight will be soon after. Data from the Bureau of Transportation Statistics of the U.S. DOT show that the average price per gallon of fuel used by the airlines jumped 31% in May over the same month the previous year. Dow Jones reports the airlines paid $3.03 per gallon for jet fuel in May, up from $2.32 in May of 2010 and $2.99 the previous month. Consumption was up as well. The 1.4 billion gallons burned by U.S. airlines in May was up 2% from April. The prices haven't been that high since 2008, and Dow Jones says it's prompting some carriers to reduce capacities. The Airline Pilots Association has told the U.S. House Subcommittee on Transportation Security that a philosophical shift is needed to airport security screening focused on the intent of individuals rather than the objects they carry. In his letter to the committee, ALPA President Captain Lee Moak calls for a TSA reauthorization bill that enhances successful security programs while working to close existing gaps. While praising the new expedited screening for airline pilots, who've already been through plenty of screening just to get their jobs, Moak notes that all cargo operations remain exempt from many security practices that are mandated for passenger airlines, including fingerprint-based criminal history record checks for people with unescorted access to aircraft and cargo. The National Business Aviation Association is publicly thanking 33 members of the House who've gone on record with serious concerns about the Department of Transportation's announced plan to scrap the Block Aircraft Registration Request Program, or BAR. DOT wants to open up online tracking of the movement of private citizens using aircraft. The letter reads, in part, quote, "While all Americans support an open and transparent government, maintaining the BAR program is about preservation of personal citizens' right to privacy," unquote. There are already 26 senators who expressed similar concerns back in June. The downside to having deregulated airline fares, which are a fraction of what they were 30 years ago when adjusted for inflation, is the pain of watching airliners become little more than transit buses with wings. With the new reality of security theater, fuel prices becoming volatile, and airlines looking for places to cut costs, it's probably not surprising that flying with them just isn't as much fun anymore. ACSI, the American Customer Satisfaction Index, has been conducting surveys since 1995 in many product categories. In its 2011 numbers, released last month, it found the airlines were winning the race to the bottom, generating scores much worse than hotels or even fast food, down 1.5% in just the last year, and down 9.7% since the ratings started in 1995. The performance of individual airlines varied widely. Southwest satisfaction was up from last year and even from the 1995 baseline, while the customer satisfaction rating for Delta Airlines fell 27.3% just in the last year. Still ahead, two widows will appeal their loss in a lawsuit against Cirrus. Aeronautical Accessories will brand TrueView Enhanced Vision as its own. And a woman's attempt to video a confrontation with TSA doesn't turn out too well. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, July 14th. I'm Paul Plack. On May 24th, Cirrus Aircraft prevailed in a lawsuit stemming from the death of former New York Yankees pitcher Corey Lytle, whose SR-20 flew into a 50-story luxury condo building in Manhattan during an attempt to turn the plane around over the Hudson River in October of 2006. The accident killed Lytle and his instructor, Tyler Stanger, and injured three people on the ground. The incident prompted the FAA to shut down the Hudson River VFR corridor temporarily and impose tighter restrictions on its use afterward. The National Transportation Safety Board determined that the probable cause was pilot error, noting a sudden loss of 300 feet of altitude just before the crash was likely caused either by a stall or by an attempt by the pilot to get the nose of the aircraft down to avoid or recover from a stall. Lytle and Stanger had life insurance policies valued at $1 million each, but there were millions in injuries and damages claimed by the residents of the Bel Air condominiums, the building they hit. So a group of plaintiffs sued the Lytle estate for $60 million. Lytle was covered by a larger policy provided as a benefit by Major League Baseball, but it covered death in an aviation accident only if Lytle was a passenger, and the NTSB never did determine conclusively which man was acting as pilot in command. So the widows, Melanie Lytle and Stephanie Stanger, filed a $50 million lawsuit against Cirrus. Their contention was that there must have been a defect in the aircraft, which prevented the men from controlling it. The report of the NTSB's professionals was not allowed in court as evidence. The jury didn't buy the premise and decided Cirrus was not to blame. Now, Bloomberg reports the widows filed last week to appeal the verdict. An attorney for the plaintiffs, Hunter J. Skolnick, claims Cirrus was allowed to introduce numerous theories in its defense, while evidence brought by the plaintiffs to refute those theories was excluded. U.S. District Judge Barbara S. Jones has been asked to order a new trial. Cirrus Aircraft has declined to comment so far. The plaintiffs in the suit against the estates of Corey Lytle and Tyler Stanger, the ones who wanted $60 million, they settled for $2 million in 2007 after they figured out that was all the life insurance the men had and that neither estate had much else of value. AvConnect, an AvFusion Incorporated company, is announcing today its capabilities to automatically upload, analyze, and populate flight data from the G1000 directly into their customers' accounts. The system pulls more than 70 data points per second during a flight. AvConnect organizes and archives the data, then automatically populates its customers' aircraft and flight records as well as their logbooks. Daryl Taylor, VP of Evolution Aviators, says of the system, quote, "We now have the data we need to address small maintenance issues before they become catastrophic." Unquote. AvConnect connects pilots and owner-operators to their service centers, maintenance managers, fellow pilots, OEMs, and FBOs through advanced online and mobile applications. The privately held company is based in Denver, Colorado. And finally today, a woman from Clarksville, Tennessee, was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct Saturday after she refused to allow her daughter to be patted down at a security checkpoint at Nashville International Airport. The 41-year-old woman and her daughter, whose age was not specified, were traveling from Nashville to Baltimore on Southwest on Saturday. When they were selected for additional screening, the mother, identified as Andrea Fornella Abbott, allegedly yelled and swore at TSA agents. The Tennessean cites police documents in reporting that Abbott said she did not want her daughter, quote, "touched inappropriately" or "crotch-grabbed," unquote. She also refused the full body scan and reportedly tried to record the encounter using her mobile phone's video camera. Abbott has been released from a Nashville jail after posting $1,000 bond on a disorderly conduct charge. You know, I share the belief that the so-called enhanced TSA pat-downs are inappropriate for use on travelers who represent no threat. But I have to admit I'm also starting to sympathize with screeners who seem to be facing staged confrontations by people looking to become stars on YouTube. And I'm also pretty sure there's now a young lady who's not too excited anymore about traveling with mom. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.